الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اذكروا الله ذكرا كثيرا سبحان ربك رب العزة أما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us in the most amazing way. And it's very important to keep things in perspective in order to be able to appreciate the unique blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in general, and even the specific blessings that Allah bestows upon us. And today I don't want to speak for a long time because, you know, it'd be good to spend a little bit more of our time doing dhikr today. But I do want to just underline one very important principle, which I think we sometimes lose fact of, or lose sight of, but is very important for us in the context of the bigger picture, which is that Allah has blessed us, particularly the people in this building, but in general, the entire ummah, with the opportunity for our tongues to be able to take His great name. And this is such a unfathomable mercy that if we were to put it in perspective, we would be paralyzed in just gratitude. And what I mean by that is, you know, let's just make one principle very clear. Like, who are we and how great is Allah? Who are we and how great is Allah? And yet, despite that disparity, because we've just, that sentence creates a huge disparity. Who we are is one extreme, and how grand and great is Allah is another extreme. And honestly, it is the greatest blessing in our life to even have taken Allah's name one time. Just one time. If the deal was that Allah would have created us, let us say His name one time, and that Allah would have rendered us to dust, it would have been the greatest blessing that ever befell all of humanity. Just to take Allah's name one time. Because who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? I mean, just think about, you know, you just, again, you can never put this into perspective because our minds, our souls, our hearts cannot comprehend the expanse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of His creation, let alone Him, right? We can't even comprehend what comes in a tiny textbook. And the textbook is just trying to comprehend one little domain of Allah's magnificence. And that one little domain of Allah's magnificence is human understanding of an infinite creation that's constantly expansive. And we are trying to grapple and grasp this concept, but we should just understand that we can't even begin to fathom Allah's creation, let alone the grandeur and the supremacy and the greatness of Allah. You know, I can bring an insect in the room, and I can tell you that this insect does nothing except through the command of Allah. And it would be amazing that complete insect, every every dimension of that insect is completely under the control of Allah. But then I can tell you that that insect is far more complex than what we can even visualize. It's made of cells, and the cells are all constantly undergoing chemical reactions, and those cells produce organs, and these organs are producing chemical reactions, and the organs are working in concert with the entire unit, and the entire unit lives in a grand, you know, in a community, and the community lives in an ecosystem, and the entire thing, there is not one molecule, forget molecule, there's not one atom, forget atom, there's not one quantum, except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala controls every bit of it in absolute control, without any effort, without any expenditure of energy, and in the most perfect way, without ever losing sight of everything else that's created. Now, if I told you that this is Allah, and you can have one chance in your whole life to engage this Allah, it would be the greatest blessing that ever befell any person in this room. It would be the greatest blessing that befell any person in this room. And instead, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the opportunity to do kathir dhikr of His name and to engage Him in numerous ways. What an amazing mercy that Allah allows us to engage Him through salah. Like, who are we? Who are we? Like, what right do we, as a lowly, unable creation who cannot even comprehend one tiny, tiny bit of Allah's magnificence, who are we to be able to engage Allah, to take His name on this tongue, to be able to bow in worship, to be able to say, Subhanallah, Allahu Akbar, Subhanallah, I mean, who are we to engage that magnificent creator? And Allah, out of His mercy, grants us the opportunity to be able to do that. I mean, we should be pinching ourselves. You know, sometimes what happens is you have an interaction with somebody in life, and that interaction is so dominant because of the disparity that you say that I'm stuck for the rest of my life. I need to, you know, I'm bound by this interaction. For example, let's say that you're driving your car. You know, there's an accident on the road. You become unconscious. Your car's on fire. Somebody opens the door, risks their life, pulls you out of the car, and 5 seconds later, your car explodes. So when you wake up and somebody shows you the video, you would say to the if you met the person, you would say, I'm in debt to you for the rest of my life. Whatever you want, is there anything I can do for you? And in the back of your mind, you would be thinking every day, gosh, that person saved me. I am so in debt to that person. Right? Because that's human nature. And why would that be? Because there's a disparity. You are absolutely helpless. This person didn't need to help you. But because this person took the time out to help you when you were in need and he didn't need to help you, the argument in your mind would be, look at this disparity. I'm in absolute debt. This debt binds me for the rest of my life to pray for this person, to thank this person, to think about this person, to take care of this person. Now, that's a tiny interaction that occurs, you know, for like a few seconds in one's life. But then we think like, we didn't need to exist and Allah created us. We did not need to exist and Allah created us. And when Allah decided to create, He could have created us as a inanimate object. We could have been a rock in a park somewhere. But Allah somehow exhibited His mercy upon us, and instead of making us this rock in a park or a piece of a mountain, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made us animate. I mean, look at all the possibilities. You know, there's this big paradigm, creation. First of all, creation did not have to happen. Like, creation, yes, no. Allah, out of His infinite mercy, decided to create. Right there, we're stuck. Like, subhanAllah, this magnificent Lord, He decided to create. Then on top of that, within creation, there's subtypes. There's animate and inanimate. Allah creates trees, he creates mud, he creates earth, he creates all these different things which are completely inanimate. They have no ability to even sense to our perception. Of course, they have their own degree of sense and deen, but to our perception, yet Allah created us amongst the animate. Then amongst the animate, meaning those things that move and interact, there's so many things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave life to. We could have been insects in a forest who just came and went and no one ever knew. We could have been worms in the ground. We could have been rats eating garbage. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he created us as human beings. Like where, why? Like what did I do? What audacity do I have to say that I somehow deserved it? No. Only out of the infinite mercy of Allah and for no other reason except his infinite mercy do I even exist. And then, subhanAllah, amongst human beings, look at the danger. You know, Allah chose us to be this, and placed us at this key juncture of human beings. And amongst human beings, Allah has created a subset that don't believe in him and a subset that believe in him. And then he took us on that point. And I will tell you, if you didn't end up on this point, better to be an animal in the forest. It would have been better to be a rock and disintegrate and not exist on the day of judgment. But Allah, out of his infinite mercy, he created us and he put us in this category of believer. The fact that we're present here, the fact that we appreciate his oneness, that we see and understand that we are bound by his greatness, that's a mercy upon us. And the probability is so tiny. You know, people worry, oh my God, only 1 in 1,000 people get into Harvard. I mean, this is far more unlikely. You know, they say 1 in 1,000,000 people win the lottery. This is far more unlikely. We won the lottery. This is not even a lottery. The lottery is garbage. There's nothing in the lottery. We won the lottery of existence. That Allah decided to create us and place us in a paradigm of a group of individuals who have the ability to appreciate his greatness and his grandeur. And he created us at that point when the decision was made. Some are going to be believers, some are not going to be believers. He put us in the category of believers. And then subhanAllah, look at even beyond that, there were so many subsets of believers historically. There's the community of Adam alayhi salam, the community of Nuh alayhi salam, the community of Musa alayhi salam, the community of Isa alayhi salam. And from those communities, he blessed us to be in the community of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Like, what did we do? How did we ever even deserve that? That's the community, by the way, that we know the other prophets made du'a to be part of that community. When they saw the blessings associated with being part of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they themselves made du'a to be part of the community of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And that du'a was accepted for one prophet, Isa alayhi salam, who when he returns will actually live under the guise of an ummati of from the ummah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now, that's just one example of a paradigm, you know, just the reality of who we are. And we don't even deserve to exist. What right do we even have to exist? Allah, out of his infinite mercy, he created us. Now, as part of that creation, we could have just been come and gone. We didn't need to know that there's this one Allah and that this is the magnificence of this Allah and this is the greatness and grandeur of that Allah. We didn't need to know, but Allah gave us that information. Okay? So that's an enormous blessing upon us. And then on top of that, Allah, it could have been that we knew there was this Allah, but we just had to be at a distance. We never could interact with this Allah. We never could engage this Allah. We had no way. We just knew that there's this supremely, infinitely supreme being, and it's just completely different than us. But no. Allah gave us the opportunity to be able to take his name, to just say the word Allah. That is such a blessing. To be able to say that Allah, to be able to say La ilaha illallah is such a blessing. To be able to say Subhanallah is such a blessing. To be able to say Alhamdulillah is such a blessing. To be able to say Bismillah is such a blessing. And I will tell you that even if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only gave us one turn in life. You know, you can have one turn. You know, when there's something so amazing, you say you can only have one turn, right? If Allah would have said, there's only one turn, you could only say subhanAllah one time in your life, that would have been such an amazing blessing upon us that we would never be able to repay it even until the end of time. And there's proof of this, by the way, because we know that on the Day of Judgment, after all the judgment occurs, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts the people of Jannah in Jannah, they will have no regrets. And why should they? Why should they have any regret? Because they have infinite blessings bestowed upon them, and there's no differential. They can't tell everybody is absolutely pleased. But why will there be a regret? There'll only be one regret. The regret, according to, I'm giving it from the perspective of two different hadith. In one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, clearly, the only regret the people will have in Jannah, the only regret the people will have in Jannah is every moment they did not make the dhikr of Allah. The only regret people will have in Jannah is every moment they did not make the dhikr of Allah. And why will they have that regret? Now there's another hadith. Why will they have that regret? So you have to move forward to the second hadith. The regret will exist because they will see the differential. They will see that there is person X who did the same deeds as them, right? Because you're talking about billions of human beings. So invariably, there'll be someone that did a similar number of deeds as me. But the difference will be that person made one more subhanAllah than me. And I will be able to perceive the difference in one subhanAllah such that I will have regret. This person made 8,000 subhanAllahs in their life. I made 8,000. This person made 8,001 subhanAllahs in their life. I made 8,000 subhanAllahs in their life. That one subhanAllah created such a difference between me and them that I am going to regret in the context of infinite reward. That's the differential. So that tells us that even taking the name of Allah one time is so rewarded that it would have sufficed us. It would have sufficed us. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates multiple opportunities and tells us in the Quran, reminds us, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O you who believe. You know, people, all you believers are people who are already doing what they should do, correct? Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O you who believe, Udhkurullah, remember Allah. That's sufficient. Remember Allah, that's a command, so I should do it as much as possible. But then it's further elucidated. Udhkurullah kathira. Remember Allah abundantly. Abundantly. Meaning, number one, we should keep our tongues constantly busy with the dhikr of Allah. Constantly busy with the dhikr of Allah. Because every single dhikr that we make, it will be apparent to us on the Day of Judgment, and its effects will be utterly clear to everyone. It will be the only regret that we'll have. It will be the only regret that we'll have. Now, you know, people like to relax. Okay, I spent 2 hours doing this. I spent 4 hours doing this. I spent 3 hours on the internet. I spent 2 hours texting on my phone. And we're going to look at that. And we're going to say, oh my God, in that 1 hour, 2 hours, 4 hours, 10 minutes, I could have done subhanAllah. I could have said La ilaha illallah. I could have said Allahu Akbar. I could have taken the name of Allah. I lost on the ultimate opportunity, and that will be the source of regret. That will be the source of regret. No one's going to remember who won the NBA playoffs, who won the World Series, what happened in the third episode of Star Wars. No one's going to remember any of that stuff. The only thing that's going to be remembered is that these were an opportunity given to us by Allah. And He allowed us to recognize Him, to engage Him, to worship Him, and we lost the opportunity. That's going to be the source of regret. So that's the first layer of remembrance. right? Which is that I should keep my tongue busy with the dhikr of Allah as much as possible. I should be in a state of remembrance. I should be saying, Subhanallah, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, etc., etc. But the second paradigm that drives that, now look, you know, one thing is for me to like put a sign in front of you, okay? And say Allahu Akbar. All right, so you remember. I send you a text message 10 minutes later. Say La ilaha illallah. That reminds you. But that's external, okay? And that does create a sense. And that's what happens when you come in a gathering like, you know, where there's a reminder, where someone gives you a talk, someone gives you a speech. I mean, everybody in this room knows we should make the dhikr of Allah. We should constantly say Alhamdulillah. We should say Allahu Akbar. We should constantly be saying these things. Nobody in this room does not know that. But the problem is that we externalize the input. It's a talk. We have to be told over and over and over and over again. But that's not the way continuous dhikr is generated. Continuous dhikr is generated by understanding the opportunity that has occurred. Look, if somebody saves you from a burning car when you're about to die, risks their life and pulls you out, nobody has to send you a card every year saying, remember that person saved your life. You remember because of the differential and the debt that was created between you and that person. You say, oh my God, I was about to die. Oh my God, nobody was going to take me out of that burning car. I was completely lifeless and unable. Oh my God, that person stopped his car, forgot about his own life, deleted his kids from his mind, and came to the car and opened the door despite the fire and pulled me out. And that differential and that internalization makes you constantly remember the event. So much so that I can call you a week later and you're talking to me on the phone, but your mind and heart are thinking about that event over and over and over again. That understanding, right? That differential, the example that I'm just putting before you, that drives a constant and continuous remembrance of that particular event. Now, that's the prerogative that we people have to appreciate when we're thinking about Allah. Who am I to engage with the creator of the entire universe? And then I don't even deserve to take this the name of this creator one time. This is a limited tongue which is unable. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has angels that are praising him constantly. Who am I? Allah is here and I am nowhere. And we, in the context of that, have to then appreciate who we are. And that creates such a differential that we say, I shouldn't even have existed. And because I exist, I have to be in a constant state of remembrance of Allah. I mean, like, honestly, every morning that we wake up, we should wake up and say, SubhanAllah, I shouldn't even be here. I shouldn't even be here. I should just pinch myself and say, I shouldn't even be here. And if that's not sufficient enough, because we're just completely blind and heedless, then I should look at the sun and say, how did this rise on me? I should have frozen to death this morning. I should have frozen to death this morning. How did this rise on me? I should have not even been able to see, but the light is shining from the sun from so far away. Even that is sufficient enough to paralyze a person in the remembrance of Allah. And then beyond that, blessing upon blessing upon blessing upon blessing upon blessing. Where are we? Like, what happened to us? But no, if somebody gives me the opportunity to, I get an invitation to the White House and I meet the president, then I have to tell the whole world. I have to do dhikr to the whole world. For the rest of my life, I do this one dhikr. Oh, I went to the White House in 1990. You know, I got invited to the White House in 1990. Let me tell you about how the dinner was. Let me tell you about the food. Let me tell you about what happened. I shook the hand of the president. Let me show you my picture. And it's like a 24/7 dhikr. Everybody in the house knows. Everybody in the masjid knows. Everybody in the community knows. Constant remembrance. Why? Because it was a differential created. Now, I mean, let's get real. We didn't deserve to exist. Allah allowed us to exist. We didn't deserve to be human. Allah made us human. Within our humanity, Allah gave us Islam. Within Islam, Allah guided us through the blessed messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We would have ended up as failures in the akhirah, except that we've been given information about what's going to happen there. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept us on tawheed and allowed us to be able to appreciate that He's created the world around us And then after all of that, Allah gave us the opportunity to engage him. Like, who am I? After all of that, who am I to engage Allah? I don't deserve it. I don't deserve that experience. That's it for the angels. Yet Allah overlooked our deficiencies, overlooked our inability to worship him and praise him the way he deserves to be praised, overlooked our heedlessness, and he said, and he created the opportunity for us to be able to take his name even once would have been sufficient to talk about for the rest of our lives. Even once would have been sufficient to tell the rest of the world, I took the name of Allah, the one who created all, the master of the universe, the one who controls the day of judgment. I had the opportunity to take his name. But no, Allah creates the opportunity to constantly take his name, to engage him in salah, to make sajda before him, to fast and earn his reward. That's amazing. Like, what more in my life what defines me any more than that? It's like Allah gave me the opportunity to take his name. I have nothing else to say. I don't have to, there was nothing wrong could have ever happened to me if that one thing went right. You know, people say, if this one thing happens, I'll never complain. I swear I'll never complain. I mean, like, here's the reality. This one thing has happened. Allah gave us the opportunity to engage him. Now tell me, what else matters in our existence? What else matters? No one in this room can show me anything else that matters that will convince me, because I know what's going to happen on the day of judgment. And the only thing that's going to matter is that we said, La ilaha illallah. And that we took his name and that we had opportunity to engage him. And honestly, just the engagement of Allah with no subsequent reward beyond that would still be far beyond what we deserve. You know, if it would have been, the deal would have been, I will create you. You can say my name one time and taste the taste that's associated with this name. That would have been sufficient, and we would have been forever grateful. We would have been willing to trade one Allahu Akbar for sujood for our entire existence. It would still be an unfair bargain in our favor. It still would be an unfair bargain in our favor to just say Allahu Akbar one time. But no, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates opportunity after opportunity, opportunity after opportunity, opportunity after opportunity to engage him in ultimately unique ways. We can pray and thank him. We can eat and thank him. We can meet one another and thank him. We can come to the masjid and thank him. We can enter our homes and thank him. We can put on clothing and thank him. He didn't create just one unique opportunity to say Allahu Akbar. He gave us opportunity after opportunity to say Bismillah, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah. Every single interaction is an engagement with Allah. What do you want to say? Anybody want to stand up and say anything more than that? There is nothing to say. There is nothing to complain about. There are no problems in life because this one blessing, through all of its dimensions, wipes everything else away. If we have a complaint, the only complaint is, Ya Allah, I didn't get to engage you the way I was supposed to. And if we have a regret, the only regret on the day of judgment will be that we said one less subhanAllah than the person next to us. Nobody in this room is going to regret the degrees that they had, the job that they had, the house that they lived in, the neighborhood where they lived. None of this will be a regret. None of this will be a regret. This deen is crystal clear. The only regret in Jannah will be that we missed the opportunity to take the name of Allah. Our lives will be played before us. The movies, the books, the entertainment, the sports, all of these things that we use to numb us. These are things that numb us from the reality of our existence, which is that you have been given a finite period of time. And in that finite period of time, you can run with it and you can take the name of Allah as many times as you like. Or you can engage in all these other things which are called dunya. And in the end, what is Tawheed? La ilaha illallah is not just the appreciation that there are no idols worthy of being worshipped. It's the ultimate manifestation of that shahada is that there is nothing except Allah. That there is nothing worthy of my attention except Allah. There is nothing worthy of my praise except Allah. There is nothing that exists and there is no reality except with Allah. That's the shahada. The entry point of the shahada is La ilaha illallah. I'm not going to worship these idols. I'm not going to worship these stones. I'm not going to worship myself. But the end point, the pinnacle, that which the sahaba were able to attain through the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was this manifestation of the shahada, which is that there is nothing worthy of my time except Allah. Now, if Allah assigns me something, I'm going to perform it, but it's still a manifestation of the opportunity to say, Bismillah, Subhanallah, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah. Yes, I have to eat, but I'm eating the food of Allah. I say Bismillah before I begin, I say Alhamdulillah when I'm done, and I appreciate that every single molecule of that food has come through the mercy of Allah. So it's an engagement with Allah. It's an opportunity to be able to just appreciate one more blessing and one more angle. But it's still Allah. In the end, the final, you know, this complex equation of life, you know, when you do algebra, you have this equation and that equation and this equation and that equation, and the goal in the equations is to reduce everything to the simplest variable so you can solve it. The simple variable is La ilaha illallah. That in my food, I should be able to look at this and say La ilaha illallah. That this food did not come from anywhere except the mercy of Allah. When I put these clothes on, then I appreciate all of the complexity that goes into these clothes. But that underlying fundamental equation underneath all of that is Alhamdulillah. That this only came through the mercy of Allah. Because this only came through the mercy of Allah. I don't even exist except through the mercy of Allah. So now, like, where are we going? Where is our focus? Where is our mind and where are our minds and hearts turned? We've become deceived by the deception around us to think that there is something more valuable to turn our time, our energy, and our attention to other than Allah. Which, by the way, what is ibadah? Ibadah is a person takes their time, energy, and attention and turns it in that direction. The people of Mecca, prior to the coming of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, took that time, energy, attention, and turned it to idols. And the Prophet ﷺ turned it away from idols and turned it to Allah. But because their idols were destroyed, everything became for Allah. We have the same idols. We don't have those stones and these, you know, the idols that were named at that time. We have these little idols that are present within us. You know, my preferences, my habits, my ego, my feelings. Why does this person talk like this? Why does this person talk like that? Why don't I get this? Why does this person have that? Like, who are we to question Allah? You know, when a person has a problem with something, who do you have a problem with? If you have a problem with your neighbor, you don't have a problem with your neighbor. You have a problem with Allah. Because Allah made that person your neighbor. And Allah controls, does not Allah control every single molecule in the universe? Do you not think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was the one that made the decision of who we're going to live next to? So yes, we have certain responses because the deen teaches us to respond in certain ways. But at the same time, we have no complaint. Because every complaint in the end is not a complaint. It is a complaint against our Lord. The foolish is the one who has a complaint. There's only one complaint. There's only one complaint. Ya Allah, you gave me everything. And I am nothing. And I have yet to get this through, this simple fact through my hard head. I have yet to worship you the way you deserve to be worshipped. I have yet to apply myself the way I should be applying myself. I have yet to make you the number one focus in my life. I have yet to thank you for the blessings that you continuously bestow upon me. I'm still at yesterday and the new blessings are coming tomorrow. I can't keep up. People complain in class, the teacher's going too fast, I can't keep up. I'm telling you, we're still on the day we were born. We can't keep up. We still have yet to thank Allah for the day that we were born. How are we keeping up with tomorrow? I'm totally bound by the shower of mercy that befalls from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon me. I'm in debt upon debt. Where am I except to just subjugate myself to my Lord for that extreme differential who created me from nothing and continuously allows me to exist when at any moment, if Allah decides, I could disintegrate into nothing. So So like every millisecond of my existence is just complete, absolute dead. But I don't see it. I don't see it because of the deceptive world that we create around us. We create these false idols. And because we get engaged in these false idols, we can't see truth from falsehood. And then we're caught up in deception. And that deception, maybe it won't sink us on the day of judgment, but 100%, it will be a source of regret. It will be a source of regret because it came from the tongue of the Prophet ﷺ. That every moment not spent in the dhikr of Allah will be a source of regret. And what generates that constant dhikr? It doesn't come from a text message. It doesn't come from a 20-minute lecture. It comes from an understanding in the heart and the mind that I am in debt to my Lord. My Lord is ultimate and I am nothing. I am stuck. I can only but constantly remember Allah. Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah. And even if that wasn't sufficient, and subhanallah, that's sufficient. Even if that wasn't sufficient enough, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows me with meals. And Allah bestows me with the ability to move. I don't have to move. Allah could have just froze us in our places. We could have just been just like this the whole day. But Allah puts debt upon debt upon debt that I can move, I can eat, I can see, I can hear, I can look at the trees. It's like one after the other after the other, that there is no millisecond that exists in the existence of a person except that they are always reminded of the absolute debt of Allah to them. You can't escape it. You step on the ground, it's His. You breathe the air, it's His. You process the oxygen, it's His. You release the carbon dioxide, it's His. Every enzymatic reaction occurring in the body is His. Every atom rotating around, every electron rotating around, every atom and every molecule is all His, under complete control of Him. We are absolutely bound. There is no escape. Layer upon layer, layer upon layer, layer upon layer. Nothing except the remembrance of Allah. And I will tell you that everything in the universe does not escape. Every electron is exactly where Allah commanded it to be at any millisecond. That's His power. That's His power. And the only one who's been given a little bit of latitude, the only one who's been given a little bit of latitude is us. Allah gave us a few choices, not many, a few choices. You can pick up one leg, you can't pick up the other. You can stop breathing, you have to breathe eventually. You don't have a lot of choices, we have a few choices. And foolishly, we get deceived into picking the wrong things far too often. We have to wake up. There's not a lot of time. You know, yes, life appears to be long, but put life, you know, yes, if you put the numerator and denominator of, you know, some narrow-mindedness, life appears to be long. But why don't we hearken to the real reality? This universe has existed for billions of years. And when you put that as the numerator, my 70-year life, or at this point, you know, 40-something year life, and then divide that by the denominator of billion, the calculator gives you zero. Because that's exactly what we are, zero. And that's exactly how long we're here for, zero. Yes, it appears that the few moments that we blink and we're present and we say salam, wa alaikum salam, we smile, we earn a little bit of an income, we progress a little bit in this world, that appears to be lengthy because of the deception of time, because of the frame. It's a frame. You know, you slow down everything and you put it in a frame. But why don't you speed everything up and see it in reality, and you just see it's just the snap of a finger. Not even the snap of a finger. Not even the snap of a finger. So now you tell me, like, what is there to do in this moment that Allah created us except to say Allah, except to say La ilaha illallah, except to say Subhanallah, except to constantly exhibit our gratitude to Allah. And if there's anything else to say, it's Astaghfirullah. For the inability to completely take advantage of these constant layers of debt. That's called Islam. Now, if a person embeds that Islam in them, then doing good becomes easy, avoiding sin becomes easy, and the constant remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes embedded in them. They attain a state which we call, you know, in spiritual training, we call that state wukuf. That's called wukuf, when a person appreciates the ultimate grandeur of Allah and the minimal level of their existence, and then sees that differential and appreciates layer upon layer, layer upon layer, layer upon layer of debt and blessing that has been placed upon us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, realizes that I am the least worthy of ever taking his great name. And then from that, that internalization results in a constant state of remembrance of Allah. That even if my tongue is silent, my mind is just saying, wow, where am I? How did this happen? What an amazing blessing. I can't ever begin to even start to say how much I am in debt to you, ya Allah. That's called Islam. Everything else is secondary. The Sharia is a manifestation of that wukuf. The Sharia is not a name of a bunch of laws that people have to do. You can do this, you can't do that. Oh man, how come I can't do that? Oh man, I wish I could do this. That's not the deen. That is a manifestation of deen. Deen is one thing. La ilaha illallah. And that ultimate understanding of la ilaha illallah. And that takes a person to, how can I engage this Lord? How can I express my gratitude? How can I show who I am and how I'm able to achieve? And then you get to Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then you learn, okay, here is the ultimate example of a person who was the closest to Allah of what a human being could achieve. And there you find a model that this is how a human being who was constantly in the state of remembrance expressed that state of remembrance. That at the time before the sun rises, between dawn and sunrise, they express Fajr. At the time after the sun crosses its peak, they express Dhuhr. At the time when the shadow length reaches its particular assigned length, they express Asr. After the sunset, they express Maghrib. When it becomes sufficiently dark, they express Isha. When Allah gives them a little bit of wealth, they recognize that it is only from Allah, they express Sadaqah. When Allah gives them some wealth and some time, they recognize who it came from, they express Hajj. When they make a mistake, they recognize they violated such a debt that they should not even walk on the face of this earth, and they make Tawbah. That's what Tawbah is. But what does it all boil down to? It all boils down to one fundamental underlying premise, which is to embed La ilaha illallah in our hearts, in our minds, in our breath, in our existence, so that we appreciate who we are. And honestly, I mean, make it very clear, write this in gold, one Allah, one word, just the opportunity to take the name of Allah one time in our entire existence would be far more than we deserve and is the ultimate experience. It could have been that Allah created a line and we wait 50 years and you get, after your turn comes, you say Allah once and you move on. And that would have been even in our favor. That would have been even in our favor. But no, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us, remember Allah, kathira, abundantly. And then gives us the opportunity to be able to do so abundantly. So what moment should we be free from the dhikr of Allah? It should never be the case. Of course, we interact with people, we interact with work, we have responsibilities. Those are all assigned by Allah. They are all manifestations of our worship of Allah. They are all a means of expressing gratitude to Allah. But still, in the end, in the mind and the heart is embedded Allah. That remembrance, you know, like I told you, you got pulled out of a car and it sticks in your head for the next 1, 2, 3 years. And oh my God, I almost died. Oh my God, he saved my life. You can't get away from that. That's the attitude that exists for the Muslim. And until a Muslim, and that's what the Quran, by the way, the whole message of the Quran is this one fundamental premise. You can summate the whole Quran in this. Look at the signs around you. Look at the people before you. Remember this characteristic. Look at this characteristic and this. I mean, constantly after every ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you an opportunity to interact with, engage some characteristic of his or another. Even though we have no clue what's being talked about. When Allah says that he's a Rahman and Rahim, nobody in this room has any clue about what's going on. We don't even have an ability to scratch the surface. We just scratch the surface. We know Rahman has this meaning of mercy. Rahim has this meaning of mercy. Rahman has this abundance. Rahim has this perpetual nature to it. There's some tiny little bits and pieces that we know. But I'm telling you, this is an ocean of which we can't even remove a drop. Just Ar-Rahman is an ocean of which we can't even remove a drop. And just Ar-Rahim is an ocean of which humanity cannot even remove a drop. Now, what are you talking about? Rahman and Rahim. You put them in one sentence and where are you? And then you say Bismillah and you had the name of Allah there, which is the ultimate name, which contains all of the other meanings of all of the other names. And then you're stuck. Bismillah, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, like done. Done. I am in debt for the rest of my existence. And where are we? You know, casual, don't appreciate what's going on. Biggest concern is who said, she said, he said. What happened? Like, wake up. Like, what community are we from? Which model do we have? What blessings have we been bestowed? Have we not received a message? Did we not have a messenger? Don't we have the book of Allah? Where are we? Like, it's something that we should awaken ourselves to. And this is the ultimate reminder of our deen. Khair, I said a lot. We should be spending time in the dhikr of Allah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those who are able to embed His oneness in our hearts and our minds. And may He make us amongst those who are able to constantly express our gratitude to Him through our actions, through our deeds, and through our tongues. وآخر الدعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم صلوات